turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. We're going to look through the whole psalm. We'll not read the entire psalm for time's sake, but there is no title to this psalm, and the author is not known. In the psalm, the psalmist reviews his life as a life of dependence upon God. He said that he had trusted the Lord in his youth. Notice verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." So he had been trusting God from a young age. He also acknowledged that the Lord had cared for him from the womb. Verse 6, he says, "By thee I have been holding up from the womb." And he acknowledged that he had been taught of God from his youth. Notice verse 17, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth." And as he writes the psalm, it appears that he is now old. Verse 9, he says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Verse 18, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation." So from that very statement, it appears that he's now an elderly man. He desired to live long enough to show forth the Lord to the generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So it appears that this psalm was written by an aged man who had lived his life for the Lord. God, in his wisdom, has seen fit to allow human beings to go through their allotted years, and we all have allotted years. We have a time to live. We're not going to live beyond that. We say that God has, in his wisdom, has allowed us to live our life through these years in stages. After birth, we move through the quote-unquote innocent childhood years. If we live long enough, that is followed by the quote turbulent and rebellious teen years. That doesn't mean that every teenager is rebellious. If we live long enough after that, we spend years in, again, quote-unquote, productive adult years. And then we finally enter the sunset years. And again, unless death occurs early, we will go through these stages and we will experience the challenges that are associated with each stage. And there are challenges associated with each stage. And hopefully, as we go through these stages, we experience spiritual growth through these stages. And if we live long enough, we will be able to say with the psalmist in Psalm 37, verse 25, "I have been young and now am old." If we live long enough, we will be able to say that. There are those here who can say that. And it will be true of us if we live long enough, what Christ said of Peter In John 21 and verse 18, he says, "When thou wast young," and then you skip a few words and it says, "When thou shalt be old." When thou wast young, when thou shalt be old. The truth is, today we are older than we were yesterday, and today we are younger than we will be tomorrow. In other words, today is the oldest you've ever been, and the youngest that you'll ever be, as time marches on. But in this message, we want to focus upon old age and the child of God. As you listen to people talk, Christian people, I believe that for the most part, the Christian perspective of old age, like the perspective of society, is greatly skewed. They have a wrong view. As children of God, it's important that we have a biblical perspective concerning old age. First of all, we just want to consider the Bible, what it has to say about old age. We'll not look at every verse concerning that, but just a general idea. There are some statements about the physical ailments of old age in the Bible. The subject tonight is growing old God's way. And there's no better way to grow old than God's way. And I emphasize the word growing. Growing old. Not becoming old, but growing old. So consider some statements about the physical ailments of old age in the Bible. We read of some of the physical aspects of old age, such as the graying of the hair. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 2, Samuel said, "I am old and gray-headed. I am old and gray-headed." We read of blindness due to age. Genesis 27 and verse 1. "And it came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim," and then that's explained, "so that he could not see." Isaac was old, his eyes were dim. In other words, he was blind or going blind. Genesis 48 verse 10. We read, "Now the eyes of Israel," which is Jacob, of course, "were dim for age." That is, due to age, his sight was becoming less and less. "So now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see." We also read of feebleness due to aging. Joshua chapter 23 in verse 1, we read that Joshua waxed, and what that means is he advanced. Joshua waxed and stricken in age. Stricken in age. We also read in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1 concerning David. "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat." This was due to his age. Psalm 71 in verse 9 in our text. Notice the psalmist said, "When my strength faileth." Again, speaking of some of the ailments of old age. In the book of Zechariah, if we turn there, chapter 8, Zechariah, chapter 8, and verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem. And then notice, speaking of the afflictions, physical afflictions of old age, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, because of age. They had staff, or what you and I would know as a cane or a walker. Old age can bring feebleness, we know that. But really, if you think about it, the marks of feebleness are four tokens of glory. It won't be long, and the feebleness will be gone. So the Bible speaks of some of the trials, physical trials and challenges of old age. But lest we forget, every stage of life has trials. Every stage of life has challenges. Perhaps not physical, but every stage of life has its trials. Every stage of life has its challenges. Sadly, it is merely the physical aspect of old age that most people are fixated with. And therefore, their view and attitude toward old age is really very skewed. Then notice some general statements about the blessings of old age. We read in Genesis 15 and verse 15, God is speaking to Abram. And he says, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. He did not merely say to Abram, thou shalt be buried in old age. That's not what he said. He said, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And we read in Genesis 25 and verse 8, the promise is fulfilled. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. Now the two words old age, of course, signify long life. Why didn't he just say old age? Because there's something more to it. He said that he died in a good old age. And I believe that speaks of the quality of his life through old age. Not necessarily the physical quality. Don't just limit your view. It's a sin to do so. To the physical aspect of any stage of life. That's not what's most important. A good old age. There was a quality of life. Again, not necessarily physically, but spiritually. And I believe this good here, this quality has more to do with virtue and righteousness than quality of physical life. And this is what is meant by the phrase full of days. Notice in Genesis 35, Genesis chapter 35 and verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 29. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, Why didn't it just say being old? But it also says being old and full of days. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Verse 1. So when David was old and full of days, old and full of days. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 28. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he died in a good old age. There it is again, good old age. Full of days. Full of days. Well, that goes without saying. If you're of old age, you've lived many days. This is saying much more than this person lived many days. Old age covers that. The phrase old age. Then notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Verse 15. So Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. Job chapter 42, verse 17. Job 42, verse 17. So Job died, being old and full of days. I believe this full of days conveys the same idea as what God said of Abraham, that he was good old age. It speaks of a quality of life, not necessarily referring to physical quality, but there is a spiritual quality of life. We read in Job chapter 5 and verse 26, Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. What is meant by that is illustrated in the words that follow. Like as a shock of corn cometh in a season. So what's that speaking about? That's talking about ripeness. That's talking about maturity. That which is ripe is tender and sweet. And this is what is being talked about in Job chapter 5, verse 26. Now, reading through Psalm 71, we see that we are to grow old. How sweet it is for husband and wife to grow. Put the emphasis on grow. Old. Together. Grow. Grow. Not just become old. We all become old if we live long enough. But to grow. To grow. Old. So let's consider growing old. There are some truths that we must realize. Age is no guarantee of maturity. That's true if one be 40, that's true if one is 90. Age is no guarantee of maturity. Age does not make you mature. When I speak of growing old, the emphasis again is upon growing. And I am speaking of spirituality. We are to grow old spiritually. You do not grow old by simply living a number of years. You become old by living a number of years. But not everyone that becomes old grows old. Not every child of God grows old. Some become old. They get cranky. They're irritable. They do not grow old, they become old. What is important is not how old we are, but how did we become old? How did we become old? In other words, it's far more important how we grow old than how old we become. We are to grow, and I'm speaking of God's people, we are to grow old. Now, reading through Psalm 71, you discover two things. You discover how to grow old. Again, the emphasis on grow. And you discover the ideal way to spend your life in old age. In our text, Psalm 71, there are three key aspects of the psalmist's walk with God. And this walk with God developed over the years. It grew over the years. He spoke of his youth. He spoke of his old age. We are to walk with God. That is to be descriptive of our life, our walk with God. And if we live long enough, one day we're going to become old. The question that must be asked is, did we grow in our walk with God? That's pretty sad for an old child of God not to have grown. That's very sad. As you look at the psalmist here in Psalm 71, again, these three aspects of his walk with God, these developed over the years and resulted in him being in a good place in his old age. Now realize, I'm very aware that disease can rob the mind, and I'm not talking about any of those things. We realize all those things are exceptions. But it is imperative that if we are going to grow old, rather than merely become old, then we must develop a walk with God in our young years. You don't just wake up one day spiritually mature. It's a walk with God that develops through our younger years and that carries us into our older years. First of all, we see here in Psalm 71 that the psalmist advanced and continued in his knowledge of God. As you read through Psalm 71, it is permeated with a deep personal knowledge and understanding of God. Notice verse 1. In Thee, O Lord. In Thee. That describes his life. In Thee, O Lord. We need to, that needs to be our life in our young years, throughout our adult years. And then when we reach old age, guess what? It's still there, in Thee, O Lord. He knew God as his deliverer. Verse 2, deliver me. He knew God as his deliverer in his young years. And as you read through Psalm 71, he's being persecuted in his old age. But he remembers that God delivered him in his younger years and that God would still deliver him. He's advancing. He's advanced through the years, and he still recognizes God as his deliverer. He knew of the righteousness of God. And I believe how that word is used here in Psalm 71, it's referring to the faithfulness of God. And he uses it several times. Notice verse 2. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Or deliver me in thy faithfulness. Verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. Verse 16. I will make mention of thy righteousness. Verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Verse 24. He mentions it again. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. So he knew through his younger years into his old age, he knew of the faithfulness or the righteousness of God. The longer we live, the more we ought to be aware of the faithfulness of God. He knew God as his enabler. Verse 2, he said, cause me to escape. God had enabled him throughout his youth. And he trusted that God would do the same in his old age. He knew that God was a hearer of prayer. Verse 2, incline thine ear unto me. Incline thine ear unto me. We are, in our walk with God, we are to be a praying people. When the Lord saves our soul, that begins our schooling. On prayer begins our schooling in everything, but we're talking about prayer right now. It begins our schooling in prayer. And as we go on in the years, we learn more and more about prayer. And then finally we reach old age. And oh, if we've grown, we'll be a people of prayer. The greatest prayer warriors ought to be old people. Because they've been learning how to do it, or should be, growing in it all of these years. He knew God as his habitation. Verse 3, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Talking about abiding in God. We need to learn in our young years how to abide in God. That needs to advance through our older years. This is what it means to grow old God's way. And this is what we're to do even when we are old. We're to go to Him. He knew God is sovereign. Verse 3, thou hast given commandment to save me. That is God. He's prayed for deliverance. He's prayed that God would save him. And he says, what he's basically saying here is, all God has to do is give the command and it's done. In other words, he's sovereign. There ain't anybody that ought to know that more than old people. I mean, they've had all these years to witness and to experience the sovereignty of God. He knew God has his stability. Verse 3, thou art my rock and my fortress. That didn't just start in old age. That was true of his youth. Remember, it said he'd been taught of God from his youth. And it continued. He continued to grow. He learned more and more each day as the years passed that God was his stability. And then finally, when he reaches old age, by then you should get it. God is my stability. And the older we get, we ought to be getting it. We ought to be getting it. He knew God has his hope and his confidence. Verse 5, he says, thou art my hope. And then a little later, he says, thou art my trust. And notice what he says, from my youth. Thou art my hope, thou art my trust from my youth. I've been trusting you, God, from the time I was a young man. And now I'm an old man, and I'm still trusting you. He's grown. He's grown old. He hadn't just become old, but he's grown old. He knew God as the reason for his life. Verse 6, by thee I have been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. He realized that it was God. God was the reason that he was living. And the older we get, the more we ought to know that. He knew God has his strong refuge. Verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. He knew the nearness of God. Verse 12, O God, be not far from me. That tells me that he experienced in his youth God being close to him. He also perhaps experienced in his youth God being at a distance. But he's grown, and he knows the presence of God. He's experienced it through the years. He knew God as his help. He says, make haste for my help. Make haste for my help. He'd experienced God's help in his youth. He's experienced God's help all through these years. And he's grown, and he's still calling upon God to help him. Again, this not only tells us how to grow old, it tells us how we ought to live when we're old. He knew God as his strength. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord. He knew about the strength of God. And he's grown in it. He knew God as his teacher. Verse 17, thou hast taught me from my youth. He knew God's strength. He knew God's power. Verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power. So he knew something about the strength and the power of God. He also knew the mighty, incomparable deeds of God. Notice verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? If we live to old age, say that you were saved as a teenager, whatever, and you've had all those years to witness the wonders of God, the works of God. You've seen God work many a miracle. And if we're growing, by the time we're old, we ought to know pretty well that God is a miracle and wonder-working God. He knew God as a source of comfort. Verse 21, and comfort me on every side. He'd experienced that before. He's grown in that. He knew God as the redeemer of his soul. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. And that's something we just can't get over. My soul, which thou hast redeemed. And by the time you become an old person, you've had many, 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 many years to think upon that. My soul, thou hast redeemed. This man is now old, but he knew God. He knew God. He had proven God through the years. Does not God challenge us in the Old Testament? Prove me now. And those who have been saved at a young age and now they're old? How many times have you proven God's word to be true? You found it to be true. You found God to be true. That's what it means to grow old. Not just to become old. What you see here in this psalm is a man who is striving to live his growth. in his old age. He's been growing all through the years, and now he's striving to live that growth. So we see one thing about him so far is he had a knowledge of God. We're talking about his walk with God through youth up through old age. One aspect of that was his knowledge of God. The second thing, he advanced and continued in trust, praise, and hope. Notice there's a word that occurs three times. The word continually. Notice verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. He's talking about trust. He's talking about trust. He's talking about God being his trust. He's speaking of trust in the Lord, and it's continual. Our trust in the Lord begins the day God saved our soul. And it ought to grow each and every day. The most trusting people of God ought to be the old people, if they've grown. Growing old, God's way. In fact, the entire 71st Psalm is an affirmation of the psalmist's trust in the Lord. Again, notice the word continually in verse 6. By thee I've been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. He had praised God in his youth, and he's still praising him in his old age. The truth is, the more years we have, the more we have to praise God for. Notice verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Verse 14. And will yet praise thee more and more. Verse 22. I will also praise thee with the psaltery. My lips, verse 23, shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. It's talking about praising the Lord. To grow old is to grow in praise. The older we get, the more we ought to praise him. Every day ought to bring more praise from our lips. Thirdly, he advanced and continued in a lifestyle of testimony for God. Again, verse 8. He says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. In other words, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, but however long it is, I'm going to talk of thee. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So we see that he was growing in his testimony for God. Verse 18, he talks about showing forth God's strength to the generation and God's power to everyone that is to come. So he grew in his knowledge of God. He grew in his trust, his praise, and his hope. And he grew in his testimony for the Lord. And besides all of that, that we read here in Psalm 71, as you read through the Scriptures, we are to grow old in wisdom and understanding. Years does not make you wise. Growing old makes you wise. Not becoming old. Growing old spiritually. So we ought to grow in wisdom. We ought to grow in understanding. Job 12 and verse 12, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days is understanding. That should always be the case. It's not, but it should be. If we're growing, we're going to be wiser each day. We're going to have better understanding of who God is. Better understanding of our own sinful flesh. I mean, those who have been saved at a young age, and now they're old. They've had all this time to grow in wisdom and understanding, to grow in knowledge of God, to grow in knowledge of self. We're to grow old righteously. We read in Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the hoary head, that's the white head, is a crown of glory. But then notice, if it be found in the way of righteousness. It's a crown of glory. To see an assembly filled with white heads is not a bad thing. If it be found in the way of righteousness. The Bible says it's a crown of glory. We're to grow old fruitfully. Job chapter 5, verse 26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, again, like as a shock of corn in a season. Notice in Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. By the time I'm done with this, we'll all have grown old. In Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, I love that, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat, and that's not talking physically, and flourishing spiritually. We're to be growing fruitfully. That begins the day we were saved. And it is to continue on throughout our life. We're to grow old in patience. Older people have seen the results of being impetuous and impulsive. They've seen the results of that. And as a result, they ought to be more calm. Growing old, we ought to become more calm. Now, again, once again, I realize there are diseases that changes those things. I understand that. That's not what we're talking about. The older we get, since we have now seen the results over and over and over again in the lives of others and the lives of ourselves, we ought to be more willing to wait upon the Lord, more patient. They have seen how patient the Lord has been with them. The longer we're saved, the more we experience the long-suffering of God. Therefore, the most long-suffering people on earth ought to be the elderly. If they've grown old, they've grown in patience. And they see, I mean, how long-suffering does God have to be for you and I to reach an old age? Pretty long-suffering. Pretty forbearing. And the older we get, the more we ought to realize that. We're to grow old in humility. Think about growing old. The love, the grace, the mercy, the long-suffering, the forbearance, and the goodness of God that has been shed upon us through the years. Cups ought to be overflowing. I mean, by the time someone reaches old age, when they think of how much love God has shown them, how merciful God has been to them, how gracious and long-suffering God has been with them, their cup ought to overflow. And that'll be so if we're growing old. I'm afraid most just become old. And the thought of God's love and His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering and His forbearance and His goodness, what does that do? It humbles us. If we're growing, we're becoming more and more humble each day. Why, by the time we hit old age, we ought to be pretty humble. We ought to be a humble people. We're to grow old in kindness. Through the years, we experience the loving kindness of God. Kindest people on earth ought to be old people. They've experienced the kindness of God all these years. We ought to grow old in knowing what matters. I mean, by the time we hit old age, we certainly ought to know what life is about, what's important, and what isn't. Younger people are prone. I didn't say they're all like this. We've all been there. Some are. Younger people are more prone to chase illusions. The illusions of the world. But through the years, as we continue our spiritual walk, we've all tasted what drives humanity. And by now, we ought to realize that all of that is fleeting. It's not what matters. That's what growing old is. You come to a part and you come to a place in your old years. If you live it in your younger years, it'll happen in the older years. Somewhere along the line, a young person, somewhere along the line has to realize what's important. The years ought to teach us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Young people battle with that because there's so much to seek. But by the time we get in the older years, we ought to realize, man, is that ever true? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We ought to realize man doth not live by bread alone. The older we get, the more we realize what matters. So we are to be joyfully aging in the Lord. Such is to age well. Now quickly, we want to view, in light of everything we've said, the aging church through the lens of growing old God's way. Most, when they walk into a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they see mostly gray and white hair or no hair throughout the congregation, they look upon that as a sad, sad thing. Some will even look upon it as a bad thing. They may view it as a dying church, as a church without a future. As I was thinking of these things today, I thought of many churches. At one time or another, I have heard people say, that's a dying church, they're all old, but they're still here. They're still here. And all those people have passed on. God keeps it going. Don't worry about it. God has a way of keeping it going. I remember way back in the 70s, Zora Church won't be here in 5 years from now. Everybody's, the average age was probably 85. Still here. And I can remember others. Same thing. So people go into a church and they see all the white hair and the gray hair and the bald heads. And they think it's a sad thing. But a church with old people who have grown old God's way is a glorious thing. Now, if they've just become old in religious exercise, yes, it is a sad thing. But if they have grown old God's way, that's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. Again, Proverbs 16, verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory. It's a crown of glory. Doesn't say it's an emblem of sadness. If it be found in the way of righteousness. It blesses me to look out upon older people and know that they have gone through the trials and the tribulations of life, and there they are, still faithful to God. That's not a sad thing. That's a glorious thing. I can remember when we first started in, well, after several years in Streamwood, eventually we had a church full of babies, young people. And I can remember preachers saying, "Oh, that's a sign of a wonderful church." It's not a sad thing to be old. It's not a sad thing. We have a skewed view of the way we measure things many times. The hoary head is a crown of glory. That is a crown of honor and distinction and praise and worship and reverence and thanksgiving. Think of all the years. Someone's in their 90s or whatever. And they've been sitting in that church for 70 or 80 years. Still serving God. I'm sorry, but I don't find any sadness in that. A church with old people who have grown old God's way is a beautiful thing. We read in Proverbs 20, verse 29, the beauty of old men is the gray head. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 37 of Anna. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. The fact that she was 84 years old, is that a sad picture? No, that's a beautiful picture. She's in the temple. She will not leave. She's serving God night and day. That's a beautiful thing. And to have such an individual in a church is a blessing from God. And if it just so happens that you're in the cycle, and churches do run in cycles, that you're in a cycle and you have a church filled with those kind of individuals, that's a blessing of God. We read in Acts 21 and verse 16 of Manasseh. We read that he was an old disciple. An old disciple. As you think of those words, remember Christ's description of a disciple in Luke 14, verse 26 and 27. And that ought to bless our hearts, an old disciple. An old disciple. Again, to have old disciples in a church is a blessing from God. Not just old people, but an old disciple. Someone who has grown old in the Lord. That's a blessing. We read in Philemon, verse 9, of Paul the aged. Paul the aged. Oh, to have such a one in the church, that's a blessing. To have a church filled with aged Pauls, what a blessing. What a blessing. Yet many today would look upon it as a sad thing. It's not a sad thing. It's a glorious thing. So when you look at an aged congregation, look upon it a little differently. Think upon the love and the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering, the forbearance, and the goodness of God that has brought them to that point. And praise the Lord. When you look at an aged congregation, think upon all the trials that those aged disciples have been through. all the difficulties and the storms that God has brought them through. And there they are, still serving God. There's nothing sad about that. That's a wonderful thing. When you look at an aged congregation, think upon the protection of God that has brought them to that point. And you ought to rejoice. You look upon an aged congregation, think upon the victories that has been granted to those old folks. 80, 85, 90 years, 70 years, 60 years, whatever. A victory that God has granted them. How do you know they've been victorious? They're still there. Still serving God. Yes, they may be a little feeble. The mind might be a little slower. But God has granted them victory upon victory, and that's not a sad thing. That's a wonderful thing. As you look upon an aged congregation, think of 1 Samuel 7, verse 2, verse 12. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That's true. It's true of all of us. But oh, how much more the aged ought to appreciate that. Hitherto the Lord hath helped us. A congregation that has grown old God's way, and I emphasize that, grown old God's way, is not a sad thing. When a congregation is aged, but has grown to have the characteristics of the one writing Psalm 71, that's a blessed thing. That's a wonderful thing. Think of a congregation of white and gray hair that has grown old in the Lord. They're not perfect, of course not. They're still sinners. But as we get older in the Lord, more flaws ought to have been mended by now. And more faults cured, more mistakes corrected, and more lessons learned. So when you look out on a congregation that's grown old in the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. Think of a congregation of white and gray hair that has grown old in the Lord in their knowledge of God. They know God. They've grown old in their relationship with the Lord. All through the years, their relationship with God has grown. Their nearness to God has grown. They've grown in wisdom. They've grown in understanding. They've grown in faith. They've grown in righteousness. They've grown in fruitfulness. They've grown in patience. They've grown in humility, in kindness, and in tenderness, and in hope. And that congregation should be filled with prayer. I have believed since the time I've been in the ministry that the most, and this is not an insult to anybody, the most faithful people in church praying are usually the older folks. Some of the old ladies, prayer warriors, prayer warriors. Because by the time you get old, you ought to realize the importance of prayer. They may not have the physical energy to praise God like they want to, but their hearts are bursting forth with praise. And really, if you think about it, an old church, an old congregation ought to have more anticipation than a young congregation. They're not going to be here much longer. All the anticipation. So youth, this is not an insult to youth. Has much immaturity. I'm not saying that all young people are immature. That's not what I'm saying. But we all know that youth and immaturity go together. Middle life is full of toil and care. We work, we labor, but old age should be the autumn with golden fruit. Old age should be marked by spiritual fruitfulness, years of spiritual fruit. And that's a beautiful thing. So to grow old God's way means that we are becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Now you tell me how that's a sad thing. If someone has grown old God's way, they are more conformed to the image of Christ, and there's nothing sad about it. Lastly, and we'll close, Titus chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. We've mentioned those things. We're to be growing in those things. The aged women likewise. That is, everything I just said about the men in verse 2, the aged women likewise. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good thing, that they may teach the young. They may teach the young. Don't ever say, if you look at a church and it almost looks like a nursing home with the walkers and the wheelchairs, what a sad, sad, sad sight. Not if they've grown old God's way. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. We have a tendency to just focus upon the physical ailments of old age. And that is one of the challenges of old age. There are physical ailments. There are sicknesses. But you review your life, those that are old, God's been so good. That's true of all of us. God's been so good. And oh, how we ought to praise Him. I challenge the young people, anyone who does not consider themselves old, and you may be 90 and not consider yourself old, to grow in your Christian walk in your youth. And keep on growing until one day, if God allows it to be, that you're old. But you've grown old in the Lord. Amen. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.